the book of John, chapter 6. We're studying through the book of Matthew in the New Testament. But I remind you that any time that we're studying through a passage in Matthew that the other Gospels deal with, I'm trying to give you the overall view. So we're actually studying through Matthew, but I'm reading today and preaching today out of the same account, same story, just different human penmen here, out of the account given in the book of John, chapter 6. If you're keeping notes through the book of Matthew, this parallel passage is Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. That's where we're at in the book of Matthew, and we're preaching out of the book of John this morning. I hope I didn't just confuse you by what I just said. If I did, I apologize. Just get to the book of John, wait on me there, okay? I appreciate the hard work that Brother Gary and others put in for the golf tournament. Great success. Anytime the gospel is preached, it's a success, friends. It does make a difference if somebody responds, but I'm talking about as far as the work of the church. Our work is not saving people. We can't do that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But our job is to get the word out. And Brother Gary did a great job speaking yesterday. He had two men that we know of who responded with an uplifted hand saying that they were trusting Jesus as their Savior. Praise the Lord for that. If only one of them meant it, is worth all the worlds. And there's great rejoicing in heaven over those who repent, turn towards Jesus Christ. Appreciate those who work on that. God bless them. John chapter 6, verse 1. Very familiar story. But many times we can miss the main thought of it because it's so familiar. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. The great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, and every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples of them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. This is the story of the feeding of the 5,000 men. And I draw your attention to a question in verse number 9. The question that is asked the Lord from Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He said, What are they among so many? What are they among so many? In other words, what difference can this little bit make? Let's pray together. We share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to trust you. Teach us from your word. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus performed many miracles during his earthly walk. But it's interesting to note that this is the only miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 men, that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 14, which is where we're at in our study, in Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, and here in John chapter 6. Now what has happened is Jesus and his disciples have just heard about the death of John the Baptist, which we preached on last week. They were going over the Sea of Galilee to get some rest. However, many people had already gathered when he stepped off the boat. And even though he was tired and weary in his flesh, the Lord Jesus spent time with these people and healed many of them of their diseases. During this time, he turns to Philip and he asks him a question in verse number 5. He said, where are we going to buy bread for all this crowd to eat? Philip answers his question in verse 7 and says, 200 pennyworth is not sufficient. That if we use 200 pennyworth to buy bread for this crowd, it wouldn't be enough that all of them should even get just a little nibble. Now, pennyworth was the equivalent of a denarius. Now, what in the world does that mean? A denarius was the usual pay for one day. In other words, if a man went out and worked for one long day, he was paid one denarii. So what Philip was saying, he was saying, Lord, if we took somebody's 200 days' wages and we tried to buy bread for this crowd, it wouldn't be enough to even give them a little taste. Then Andrew comes right after Philip says this, and he says, Lord, we found a little lad here. It's a little boy, a little child. Says he have 5 barley loaves and he has 2 small fish. Then he turns and says, what are they among so many? Now I want to take that question this morning and I want to answer it. In other words, Andrew's saying, Lord, we found one child with one small meal. But what difference can this little boy's lunch make in such a big crowd like this? Now, there are 3 main things I see, and I trust that God will speak to our hearts as we consider what are they among so many. And as we consider this little child's lunch here, I want you to think about your life. And let me say up front here that what God did with this boy's lunch, he can do with your life if you'll let him. 3 things about it. Number 1, the first thing we notice is the large crowd. Now, the Bible calls them in verses 1 through 7. Look at verse number 2. It says, a great multitude followed him. Now, the fact of the matter is, I remind you that this miracle is the only miracle recorded in all 4 Gospels. Well, in the account in Matthew chapter 14, that account tells us that there were 5,000 men, get this, beside women and children. Beside. You know what that tells us? That means there were women there. And that tells us there were children there. It says there were approximately 5,000 men beside women, beside children. Let's just say every man had a wife and one child, which many times back in this day, to my understanding, they may have more than one wife and more than one child, but let's just be conservative. Let's say every man had one wife and one child that was with him. That's 15,000 people right there. Here's what I know. I don't know the exact number, but I know it was a large crowd that was there. There were a lot of people who were gathered during this time. See, people sometimes just try to limit this to the 5,000 men. God didn't limit it at that. In Matthew, he said, beside all the women and beside all the children. Now, this being the case, we know that there's a large crowd. Now, there are 3 things about this crowd I want you to see. Number 1 under it, they were a hopeful crowd. Look at verse number 2. It says, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. You know what I mean by hopeful here? The Bible says that this crowd was following the Lord because they saw his miracles. They were hoping for him to keep on doing something. Here's what I'm saying. They were a hopeful crowd. They wanted something. But number 2, they were a handicapped crowd. The Bible tells us this in verse number 2, the last word, where it says, on them that were diseased. You know what that word diseased means? It means to be sick or feeble. Now, when you think of somebody being handicapped, you think of somebody maybe who can't walk or whatever the case may be. But let me just say this to you. A handicap is simply a shortcoming. And may I say this to all of us? We are all spiritual handicaps. We have all fallen short of the glory of Almighty God. And I'm saying that this large crowd that was gathered, that only God knows how many were there. They were a hopeful crowd. They wanted something. They were a handicapped crowd. They needed something. And number 3, they were a hungry crowd. Why else would the Lord say, where are we going to buy bread to feed them? They had a void inside them that needed to be filled. Now, my friends, listen. I'm starting to apply this a little bit here. If that does not summarize a lost and dying world, I don't know what does. Here's a large crowd. They're a hopeful crowd. They want something. They're a handicapped crowd. They need something. They're a hungry crowd. There's a void that needs to be filled. This is the large crowd. And number two, it brings me to my second major point. Not only the large crowd, but number two, we see the little child. The Bible says in verse 8 and 9, notice it, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here. That word lad means little child. That's what it means. That had five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now I want you to remember what Philip had said earlier to the Lord. He said, Lord, if we took somebody's 200 days' wages and tried to buy enough bread, if we did that and used that amount of money, it wouldn't be enough bread that all of them should just get a little nibble. Now, with this being the case, remember the number of crowd that was there, at least somewhere around 5,000 men, not even including their women and children. They're hoping to see something. They're handicapped and need something. They're hungry and need their stomachs to be filled. Two things about the little child when we consider all those things. By the way, if you're saved today, this little child is you. If you're a Christian today, this little child is you. This is you. Two things about him. Number one, he did not have much to give. Now, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Verse 9 identifies it, that he had five barley loaves and two small fishes. Now, I want to separate those two, the barley loaves and two small fishes. I want to talk to you about them a little bit and just show you just how little this boy had to offer. Now, I remind you, this is one child's lunch. Now, he's not, unless he's Goliath's son, for crying out loud, he's only carrying enough for himself to eat. Now, let's just see how much he had to offer. Let's notice the five loaves. May I tell you that a loaf of bread today, when you think about it, in other words, your wife tells you, men, can you go get us a loaf of bread, sweetheart? Then what you go in is you go in and look for a plastic bag with a loaf of bread about this long sliced up into slices. That's not what a loaf of bread was back in this day, friends. Can't you just see the boy carrying five loaves of bread like we have for lunch? A loaf, get this now, just to help you understand a little bit. You know what a saltine cracker is, right? You know what I'm talking about. Those saltine crackers can be good with a number of things. I'm talking about, you know, they come in a tube box. I mean, this is deep preaching this morning. Everybody knows what a saltine cracker is, right? That's about the size of the loaf that this boy was carrying. An easy way to remember it, he was carrying five barley crackers. That's an easy way to remember it. A loaf was something that in the eastern part of the world, it was very small and very thin. They were the size of a good-sized cracker. And it's interesting that the Bible says he had five barley loaves. Barley. There are no incidentals in the Word of God. You say, what's the significance of that? Here's the significance of it. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says that barley only bore one-third of the value of wheat. In other words, barley was considered inferior bread. It was poor man's bread. It was common, ordinary stuff. That's all it was. If you were rich and you lived it up, you didn't eat barley, you ate wheat. But if you couldn't afford it, you ate barley. This was common, ordinary stuff. It was poor man's bread. It was nothing big. As a matter of fact, you hold your place here while I find my place back here. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4 and verse number 42. Now listen to this. Remember what the boy had. He had five barley loaves and two small fishes. Notice what this says here now. Now listen closely. This is a story of Elisha, the man of God. Here's what it says. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God, Elisha, bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley. Sound familiar? 20 loaves of barley. Full ears of corn in the husk thereof, and he said, give unto the people that they may eat. In other words, they have 20 loaves of barley, they have full ears of corn, and they have bread of the first fruits. And somebody comes to the man of God and says, put all this before these men. Notice what the server said. What? Should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. Now, I don't know if you caught what I just read. In other words, Elisha, they bring him bread of the first fruits. They bring him 20 loaves of barley. They bring him full ears of corn. And he says, set this before these 100 men. They say, what? You expect to feed 100 men with this? And Elisha said, God has said, they will all eat and they'll leave it. Fast forward to John chapter 6. There's no bread of the first fruits. There's no full ears of corn. There's not 20 loaves of barley, there's five. There's not 100 men, there's 5,000 men. What I'm saying is it was going to take a miracle from God to take what was in 2 Kings 4 to feed 100 men. If it's going to take God's miracle to do that, what in the world was it going to take in John chapter 6? This boy did not have much to give. Says he had five barley loaves, five barley crackers. Wasn't even made of wheat, just common ordinary stuff. Then it says he had two small fishes. If you think about fishing down south, you think about largemouth bass up north as well, all these kind of things, whatever the case may be. But I remind you, this boy's lunch, friends. He didn't go out and catch a flounder and have it for lunch this day. According to my study, what they would do is they would eat these kind of fish, kind of like a relish on the barley crackers to give it a little bit of flavor. And my study revealed to me that these fish were about the size of a good-sized sardine. Just a good-sized sardine. Now let's put this into perspective. There's 5,000 men, not beside the women and children. Let's just take the men, 5,000 of them. They had one cracker for 1,000 men. And they had one sardine for 2,500 men. Can you imagine a crowd of 2,500 men coming and we throw one sardine in the middle of them and say, help yourself, boys. The point is, this child did not have much to give. He didn't. But here's where the rubber meets the road. Number two, he gave it all to Jesus. He didn't have much to give. But he gave what he had to Jesus Christ. Let me show you what I'm talking about. The Bible says in verse number 11, it says, and Jesus took the loaves. And from what we know of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know he doesn't force himself on people. So if he took them, you know what that tells me? The boy gave them. And here's what I'm saying to you. He could have kept it to himself. After all, what difference could it make anyway? I mean, maybe he heard the mighty disciples go to Jesus and say, hey, we found a child here. He's got five barley crackers. He's got two sardines. But what are they among so many? What difference can they make in such a large crowd? He could have kept it to himself. He could have. He could have heard the criticism over here. He didn't have that much to give. God can't do much with him and what he has to offer. But this little boy had a lot more faith than many of us have today. Even though he didn't have a lot to give, even though he didn't have much to give, he gave everything he had to Jesus. Somebody said this, it's not how much we give, it's how much we give of what we have that matters. Let me say it again. It's not how much we give. It's how much we give of what we have that matters. Remember the story of the widow's mite when the Lord was sitting in the temple and he was watching people bring into the treasury? And the Bible says that there were several rich people coming and just throwing in of their abundance. And then there was one poor widow that came in and threw two mites in. In the center column of the Scofield Reference Bible, it says a mite was 1/8 of a cent. She threw in 2/8 of a cent. And when she did that, Jesus said, this woman hath given more than anybody has today. Can you imagine the look on the disciples' face? What? But then he goes on to say, see, the rich people just gave out of their abundance. In other words, maybe they gave $500, but they kept $500 for themselves. Maybe they gave $1,000, but they kept $2,500 over here to waste it on this stuff over here. When this woman gave the two mites, she gave everything she had. And God said she gave more than anybody. Aren't you glad God's like that, friends? He did not have much to give, but he gave it all to God. Number one, the large crowd, they're a hopeful crowd. They want something. They're a handicapped crowd. They need something. They're a hungry crowd. There's a void inside them that needs to be filled. That brought us to the little child. He didn't have much to give, but he gave it all to God. Then that brings us to my third and final point, and that's the loving Christ. The loving Christ. I get that out of the account in Mark chapter 6, same story, just different book there, where it says when Jesus stepped off the boat, he had compassion on them. He loved those people. Now, there's three things about the Lord, and then I'm going to apply this to this church, apply it to my life, your life, and then we'll be done. And I may apply it for a little while, so don't get excited when I say we'll be done. But remember the story. Remember the setting. There's around 5,000 men beside women and children. They're hopeful, they're handicapped, they're hungry. There's a little child here. He just has 5 barley crackers, not even made of wheat, and he has 2 sardines, and he brings it to Jesus. Do you see them standing there? Use your sanctified imagination. Here's that little boy. He brings his lunch, and he looks at Jesus, and he says, I don't have much. I mean, even your followers, I mean, they've even said, what difference can it? But I tell you what, if you can use it, you can have it. Do you see him standing there? With that child standing there offering his lunch to Jesus, lock, stock, and barrel, there's 3 things that the Lord did. Number one, he took it. He took it. Look at verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves. That is one of my favorite expressions in the Word of God. You say, why? Because, my friends, listen to me. If Jesus had turned down this boy's lunch, he would never take my life. All I'm saying to you is this. Aren't you glad that when that little child brought his lunch to Jesus and the mighty disciples doubting? I mean, I like to use my imagination a little bit. And they're sitting over here just trying to look at this. Oh, bless his heart. Bless his heart. Oh, I'm telling you. Just, oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Oh, but that, it can't make a big difference. I mean, what in the Lord's going to do here? The Lord looks down to that little boy and he says, you can have it. It's yours. The next thing says, and Jesus took it. I don't know if that grips you like it grips me. What I'm saying to you is this. What in the world would have happened if that little child had brought his lunch and the Lord looked down at him and said, you know, buddy, that's so great. God bless you. But you know, it's just not enough. I need more than you have. So thanks, but no thanks. Jesus didn't do that. You know what he did? He took this boy's offering. Somebody gave me this story. I don't even know where it came from, but it's a pretty good one. There was a man, he was preaching in a university on giving God your life. And as he extended the invitation, there were a lot of the well-knowns of the student body, like the president of the student body came, and the football players came, and the campus leaders came, and all these people were coming to the altar. And if they meant it, that was great, because it doesn't matter if you're known or unknown, you need to give your life to Jesus. But as he was giving this invitation and all these well-known members of the school were coming forward, he looked far back in the back and he noticed something different about one of the men that were coming. This man wasn't walking, he was crawling. He was dragging himself down the aisle. And he looked over as he watched this young man from the back coming down, and he asked one of the men that was with him, he said, tell me about who this is right here. Who is that? And one of the leaders there at the campus said, well, he's our hopeless cripple. He can't walk. It looks like he's coming to the altar. When he got to the altar, he apparently motioned for the preacher to come, and he said something like this. He said, "Sir, you said God still has a place for a man." And he says, I know God has a place for these athletes with these muscles of steel that come. He says, I know God has a place for these campus leaders who are well known. But at the altar, as he crawled up there, he said, but tell me, sir, does God have a place for a wreck like me? Can God use somebody like me? And through tears, that preacher said, son, God has been waiting for a wreck just like you. Somebody says, Jody, I can't do much for God. I don't have much to offer. What difference can I make? Because really, when you think about it, we have less to offer God for the need around the world than this boy had to offer in this current crowd. This boy just had something that he could give to feed thousands. But how in the world are we going to reach a lost world that has almost 7 billion people in it? What difference can I make? All I'm saying to you, friends, God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. That's all He's looking for. If you will give your life to Jesus, He'll take it. Amen, friends. He'll take your life. He will not turn you down. And I'm telling you, if He'll take somebody like me, He'll take somebody like you. He took it. Number two, He blessed it. He blessed it. Now, can you imagine the mighty disciples sitting there? Oh, isn't that nice? The Lord took His offering. He just doesn't want to offend this little boy. But notice what the Lord did, verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks. I mean, that's comical to me. I mean, here's the Lord. The mighty disciples are doubting. They're fearing. They're saying, what difference can it make? This boy comes and ignores them and says, Jesus, you can have it if you want it. The Lord took it. Then He bowed His head, thanked His Father for it. You know what this tells me? That if nobody else knew what a sacrifice it was, the Lord did. And the Lord blessed this offering. But it didn't stop there. He took it. He blessed it. Number three, He multiplied it. Because the Bible says in verses 11 to 13, notice this, Jesus took the loaves when He had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples and the disciples of them that were set down and likewise to the fishes as much as they would when they were filled. You know what that word filled means? It means when they were stuffed to the gills. That's what it means. It says when they were stuffed to the gills, He said, gather up the fragments that remain. And they gathered up 12 baskets full. Now verse 11 says He took this little offering of 5 barley crackers. He took this little offering of 2 sardines and He gave them as much as they would. He filled them completely. He satisfied them completely. He gave them a full meal. And what 200 days wages could not give a little taste to, Jesus took 5 crackers and 2 sardines and stuffed them to the gills and had 12 baskets of leftovers. Somebody says, I believe that's a basket for every disciple. Hogwash. If you want to believe it, go ahead. But I personally believe He gave those 12 baskets back to the child who gave Him his lunch, because He always gives more in return than somebody gives Him. And I'm telling you that what 200 days wages could not do, He gave 5 crackers, 2 sardines, and it was more than enough. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you that God can make a difference in a person's life who takes their hands off and says, Jesus, you can have it all. Can you imagine the boy sitting over there watching all this take place? I mean, he knew what was in that lunch bag. I mean, his mama, maybe he didn't. Maybe his mama just handed it to him. He didn't look in it. All of a sudden, he finds out there's 5 crackers and 2 sardines. He takes it. He's taking his hands off. He's over here resting. The Lord took it. He blessed it. He said, okay, boys, come get it. And they kept coming back, and they kept coming back, and they kept coming back. And can you imagine that boy saying, was all of that in my lunch bag? Can you imagine what it did with this little child's faith? That little boy learned a lesson that day. That if he kept his lunch for himself, he might feed himself, maybe one other. But if he took his hands off and gave it to Jesus, Jesus could feed multitudes with it. Let me apply this. The large crowd, hopeful, handicapped, hungry. They want something. They need something. There's a void inside that needs to be filled. There are people in our neighborhoods that are just like this crowd. There are people on our bus routes that are just like this crowd. There are moms and dads who are being represented by a child in our Sunday school classes that are just like this crowd. There's a lost and dying world in Chile. There's a lost and dying world in Africa. There's a lost and dying world in America. They want something. They need something. And there's a void inside them that we have to give. There's a loving Christ who can feed them. There's a loving Christ who can meet their need. And the only thing standing between them and him was one child. Just one. I'm telling you that what Jesus did with that little boy's lunch, he can do with your life. If you'll give him your life, he can feed multitude thousands. You keep it for yourself and be selfish, you might feed yourself. But that's it. The year was 1872. The preacher's name was Henry Varley. He made this statement, didn't realize there was a young man by the name of D.L. Moody listening. When he made the statement that the world's yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who's fully and wholly consecrated to him. I don't know who else was listening, but we know that D.L. Moody was listening to that man when he made that statement. And D.L. Moody said, by God's grace, I'm paraphrasing, by God's grace, I'll be that man. I've got a book on D.L. Moody. It's got a photocopy of somebody's own handwritten notes. That man couldn't spell worth a dime. He couldn't. I've got it to prove it back there in my office. He was very poorly educated. Very poorly educated. But God saved him. God began to do a work in his life. And D.L. Moody said, Jesus, I don't have much, but you can have it all. And it's been reported that 1 million people trusted Jesus Christ in his ministry. 1 million people got saved under a man's preaching who couldn't hardly spell? Many years ago, a little girl, she went to Sunday school and a teacher was going to put a shiny, sticky star that beside all the names, apparently, of the ones who brought a visitor the next week. She was inviting friends and got turned down, but then she finally realized that there was somebody that she could probably twist his arm to come. It was her daddy. I can identify with that now, you know, having a baby girl. So she went to her daddy and begged him to come with her to Sunday school the next week so she could get that shiny star beside of her name. Her daddy walked with a limp, had a stutter, and played a fiddle in a Saturday night square dance group back in this day. He went to that Sunday school class that next Sunday. And when the Sunday school teacher saw this grown man walk into the Sunday, he didn't go to the men's class, he went with his daughter. And when this Sunday school teacher saw this grown man walk into the Sunday school class, she apparently changed the emphasis of her message and gave the gospel. You know what that man did in that Sunday school class? He bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and forgive his sin. He got saved. You know what he did after he got saved? He gave up the fiddle. I still like the fiddle, by the way, but he gave it up. Bought a horse. Started traveling and starting Sunday schools just like the one that he was reached in. Before he died, he rode over 100,000 miles on horseback. He started 1,314 Sunday schools. And he personally led 83,000 boys and girls to Jesus Christ. It all started with his little girl saying, "Will you come to me?" Was to Sunday school. Somebody said, "Spare and you'll have enough for one. Share and you'll have enough for multitudes." What do you have in comparison to the need? Not much. But the message today is give it all to Jesus and let him feed others. You may think you don't have much to give. What difference can it make? And I'm telling you that they're more than enough when they're given to God. Michael Costa was conducting a rehearsal in which there was a large orchestra that was joined by a great chorus. He was conducting all this. In the middle, with the trumpets blaring and the drums rolling and the violins giving their rich melody, there was one little old piccolo player. And he said to himself, "What good am I doing? I might just as well not be playing. Nobody can hear me anyway. Look at these trumpets and these drums and these violins. Nobody can hear me." So what he did, he kept his mouth to the piece, but he made no sound. Within moments, the conductor, Michael Costa, the one who was leading everything, he went, "Stop! Stop everything! Where's my piccolo player? Where's my piccolo player?" That piccolo player learned a great lesson that day, that the one playing the trumpet might not can hear him, and the one playing the drums might not can hear him, and the one playing the violin might not can hear him, and he may think he's not making a difference, but he found out that the conductor of the whole thing, the one who put it all together, the one who kept it running, he knew when the piccolo was playing or not. And in the same way, you may just feel like a piccolo, and you may think to yourself, "What good can I do?" I'm telling you, rear back and blow as hard as you can, because Jesus Christ deserves our best, and he knows when he has your best or not. Your talents may not seem like much, but give them to God and watch him work. The measure of a life is not the duration, but the donation of it. And the only thing standing between a large crowd and a loving Christ is a little child who'll give what he has to God. I'm about done. This challenged me when I heard this. The assassination of Abraham Lincoln. When it took place, it took 2 years for the known world to hear the news. 2 years for the known world at that time to learn the news that he had been killed. The assassination of John F. Kennedy. When that took place, it took 2 months for the then known world to hear the news that he had been shot. September the 11th, 2001, awful day in our history. The then known world, you know how long it took for him to hear about it? 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus bled and died, and half the world has still never heard. Something's wrong somewhere. Could it be that part of that answer is somebody listening to me right now saying, "You know, all I've got's 5 barley crackers. All I've got's 2 sardines." Could it be that Jesus is dealing with somebody to say, "Give it to me, because I can do something with it that you never can"? Take a breath. Release your breath. 10 people just died and went to hell. Every time you inhale and exhale, 10 people somewhere around the world have died without Jesus, and now they are lifting up their eyes in torments in hell. Say this name with me, Jesus. Say it. Jesus. Beautiful name, isn't it? Glory name. Half the world has never even heard his name. They wouldn't know his name if they heard it. What are we doing? What are we doing, folks? We
We have one life to give. Give it to God. And He can start reaching a lost and dying world. So I ask this question as we close. Andrew comes to the Lord. Says, there's a lad here, God. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. What are they among so many? And the Bible answer, I've already given it, but I'm giving it again, is they are more than enough. Remember the leftovers? They are more than enough when they're given to God. That's the message. May God add His blessing to it. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You. Thank You for this day. Thank You for loving us. God, help us to get under the burden of this. Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I remind you, it's not how much you have, it's who has it. Did you hear what I just said? It's not how much you have, it's who has it. If you keep it for yourself, that's selfish. You give it to God, He can do so much more with it. What if the board refused? What if the board had said no? What if the board had listened to the crowd who were doubting and fearing? No, the boy didn't listen to any of that. He simply offered his lunch to Jesus. And Jesus took it. I ask you a question. Who has your lunch today? Let's stop playing games, friends. Let's stop beating around the bush. Who has your lunch? And does he have all of it? Are you keeping it for yourself? Have you given part of it to him but kept part of it for yourself? Or have you taken it all off and asked Jesus to take it and use it? I ask you, what difference can you make? You can make a great difference if you give it to Jesus. Father, add your blessing to this. Help us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I never want to bypass the main thing in a message, even though I'm preaching to Christians today. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just like that large crowd. Maybe you're hopeful. Maybe you want something. Maybe you're handicapped. You need something. You're hungry. There's a void inside that needs to be filled, and it can only be filled through the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you know without a doubt you're saved? Be honest. You know that. You're not relying on baptism or anything, but you know you're saved. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? I'm not asking, do you hope so? I'm asking, do you know so? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you didn't raise your hand, thank you for being honest. And I want to say this to you. All of us who could raise our hand, there was a day when we couldn't. The greatest day in our life is when you give your life to Jesus Christ. Ask Him to come into your heart and forgive your sin. Become a child of God. Is there one today say, Jody, I need to be saved. I realize there's a void in me. And I believe that void is Jesus Christ. I need to be saved. I couldn't raise my hand saying I was, but I'd like to be able to raise it the next time somebody asked me that. Oh, how serious this is. Is there somebody say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. Is there somebody say, Jody, pray for me. I believe I need to be saved. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Anybody? God bless the one hand in the balcony. God bless you. Somebody else. You can put your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody else? Put it up, put it right back down. Why don't you come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel when the invitation is given? Or maybe today God's speaking to you, you're a child of God, but God's speaking to you about just giving Him your lunch. Let me ask it this way. How many of you say, Jody, I believe I have already done that. I believe if I know my heart that there's nothing else left to give. My life is His. And He knows anywhere He wants me to go, I'll go. Anything He wants me to do, I'll do.
My life is His, not mine. I've taken my hands off. If you honestly, with God watching you, if you really believe you've done that, be careful now. If you really believe you've done that, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? So I believe I've given my life, all of it, to God. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. That was a minimum number. Let me ask the remaining question this. If you say, Jody, I didn't raise my hand to that, but God's speaking to me about it. And would you pray for me that I'll have the faith to do that? If you say, Jody, I did not raise my hand, saying I've given it all to Him, but God is speaking to me. And would you pray for me that I'll have the faith to give it to Him and not listen to the crowd? Have you God speaking you in that way? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. God's speaking to you in that way. God bless you. That's several hands. The Lord help you. In just a moment, I'll ask you to respond. Come to the altar and ask God to help you. Father, we love you now. Take this thought and bless it, we pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand together. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, if you need to be saved, if you want to come give your life to God, whatever it is, whatever it is, as He sings, you come. Come now. Would you do that?
All to Jesus.
Leave your place. Come talk to God about it.
All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
This is Ron and Amanda Castle over here. If you're standing, you can look this way just a moment. Amanda has some very, very serious surgery awaiting her. 28th, am I right? The 28th of this month. And it's vital that the Lord step in and take care of this. I'm going to ask several of our ladies, like my wife, to lead it, if you wouldn't mind. I'd like to ask several of our ladies, if you wouldn't mind. We'll close the service this way today. As she's playing through this, if several of you ladies will just leave your place and come up here, let's surround her and let's pray for her, asking God to be with her. My wife will lead everybody in prayer there just as she prays. May the Lord help her. Hope many of you men will get a hold of Brother Ron. Tell him you'll be praying for them. The Lord's good. The Lord can take care of this. Amen. My wife is praying, but I'm going to pray here to dismiss everything. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for this service. And I thank You, Lord, it's not how much we give, it's just that we give it all to You. You can do so many more things with our life than we can. And there is a lost and dying world that needs to hear the name of Jesus. God, help us to do our part. And I pray, our Lord, if there's one here that does not know You as Savior, may You save them before it's eternally too late. Make them miserable until they make the right decision to trust You as their Savior. I ask You to come to their heart and forgive them. Then, Lord, we pray for Amanda today, that You'll touch her and touch her body. Guide the doctors as they perform this delicate surgery. I pray that You'll give them real wisdom and discernment. And I pray that this surgery will be a success. May there be no complications. May there be no problems. And may this correct the problem that's within her, I pray. Touch her, I beg. Bless Brother Ron. Bless the family. Speak peace to them. May this be a time when You really, really teach them great lessons about Yourself. Thank you that you're always there and you're always good and you make no mistakes. Help us, I pray. We love you this day. Thank you for loving us. Bless now, we beg. In Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.